is Golden Rule Radio, our weekly discussion of the precious metals markets and the markets closely associated with the metals. I'm Tori, alongside Miles and Rob, and together we have over 75 years of experience advising on and brokering the precious metals. Each week, the three of us are going to provide you a technical analysis of the metals charts, as well as cover the underlying fundamentals and the news that helps move and predict the markets. This program will be on YouTube each week as well, so you can see the visual charts and images, and the best place to go actually for that is our website, which is mcalvaney.com/news. That's mcalvaney.com/news. So today we're going to get into the weekly charts, as always, a July monthly recap, some discussion on the labor markets, central banks, and the lack of U.S. demand. So without further ado, how about a recap of the week, Miles?
Sure, Tori. Let's take a quick glance at the markets here over the last week. Some big movements, some small movements. So we'll start off with gold, as this is Golden Rule Radio. We're up about 2.2% on the price of gold, and it's just hanging in there, still right in that trading range, currently sitting at $3,370 per ounce. Moving over to silver. Silver up a little bit less, 1.6%, but nothing to scoff at. So that brings silver up to $37.85. And platinum is also up about 1%, currently sitting at $1,345. Now, on the flip side of that, palladium is down 7.7%. Big decline this week on palladium. That's currently sitting at $1,150. And a quick glance at the paper markets with the S&P also down 1.5%, sitting at 6,350, but a pretty wild swing in the S&P up and down, and it was at one point down as much as 3.5% this week after putting in a relatively new higher high and then a reversal off of that. And finally, the U.S. dollar also down about 1.5%, sitting just under 100, currently at 98.2. So, fellas, that's our week wrap-up. Where do you guys want to start this week?
Well, the monthly recap, they all closed down in the last 2 days. Gold's down 0.1% on the month in a sideways chopping pattern around $32.97 average price for the month. Silver up 1.8%, around $36.70. Platinum down 2.7% for the month, average price at around $13.10. And palladium up over the month with an average price of around $11.97. But talking about a deeper dive into gold, you know, after breaking below the compressing channel, we are now hugging the bottom line. Miles, do you have the gold chart up?
Yeah, we'll definitely toss the gold chart up here, Rob, because, you know, we have been talking about this pennant or flag or triangle or whatever you want to call it. I know everybody uses a different word. I was trained by you old fogies here at McIlvaney, yeah. So I like the word pennant, yeah. But I think flag is pretty common vernacular nowadays. So we broke below that. It's an indication that you might be seeing a weaker price move when something like that happens, but not necessarily guaranteed. And lo and behold, we've really just been parked, still actually climbing, but just right along that lower trend line.
Yeah, it's scary to think that everything could be lining up bullish for gold.
Yeah.
You know, bouncing off the 50-day, and it hasn't gotten to the very short-term 50% line yet. The only thing that's hinting bearish at this point would be a turn down from the bottom of the pennant pattern. Other than that, everything still says bullish.
Yeah, and that definitely makes me nervous. Not because I don't want gold to go up, but I've been doing this just long enough to remember a couple previous bull markets now over the last 20 years. And you want healthy market movement, you want growth, and you want contraction. And
yeah,
we just haven't gotten any contraction really in the gold price yet.
That's the only cause for hesitation.
Yeah, right? Other than that, Tori, you want to dive into what's happening in the miners?
Yeah, I mean, the miners are fascinating because there's two fundamentals that are supporting this gold bullish run.
Correct.
Right? One is the mining shares. So as the stocks of individual mining companies do well, or ETFs that are a compilation of those stocks, such as GDX or whatever else, you're seeing these incredible highs. So Newmont, Kinross, Barrick Gold, Agnico all hit either all-time highs or multi-year highs just this past week alone. So
wow.
On Monday, UBS also upgraded Kinross to a buy rating. And so even mid-tier miners, as you get into junior miners or mid-tier, that's where you get more volatility. But even mid-tier miners like Eldorado up over 350% since the 2022 lows. And before, when the gold price was running, the miners weren't following.
They weren't confirming.
So now as miners start to lead, the gold price starts to follow. And when the gold price goes, physical demand starts to follow. So it may be a precursor to us seeing a ramp up in what has otherwise been a very soft physical market. In fact, down 37% this year in the U.S.
In the U.S., everywhere else, though, I mean, if you go over to Germany, it's up 250%, 128% across all of Europe, up 55% demand, I'm talking about, for gold, up 55% in the Middle East so far this year, up 91% in China. And then what's happening with the commitment of traders, Miles? What are we showing as far as big money here in the U.S.?
From a contract standpoint, we've really not seen much this year beyond just the long contracts significantly outpacing the shorts. Currently, if you add up everything, I don't really count the producers or the swap traders, because the swap traders are swap traders. The producers use it as a hedge. So the producers tend to be short to offset the inventory that they own in gold. It's a insurance thing that even gold dealers like us do.
We do it, yeah.
Where we'll hold short contracts just to offset any potential market loss in our inventory. So if you just look at private holding, managed money, and all your different reportable categories on the futures and options market right now, you're looking at almost 5-to-1 on gold, something like 330,000 contracts on the long side versus 78 on the short. And that's a lot. It's not excessive. Earlier this year, it was something like 9 or 10-to-1.
Yeah, it was.
Back in like March.
I forgot about that. You're exactly
yeah.
right.
So February or March, it was like 9 or 10-to-1 in the gold market.
Right before it paused.
And even higher, I think, in silver. So for an aggressive bull market, a 5-to-1 hold is relatively tepid compared to what we saw earlier. But with the miners breaking into new high, that certainly shows interest in the physical metals from a paper standpoint, or at least gold adjacent companies. The price of gold up over the last 18 months, showing no weakness whatsoever. And then the futures market telling us that at least going forward, there's not really a big plan to be profit taking in gold in the near future.
That's a good point.
Yeah. And the other fundamental that's bullish for gold, honestly, is the bullishness of silver. So we talked about that as a staff in yesterday's meeting. And that is, when silver follows suit with what gold is doing, as it's been doing now, it's playing catch up. In fact, it's up more than gold this year. Silver's up 27% plus year to date. Gold's up 25.5%.
Poor gold.
Poor gold.
It's only up 25%.
Yeah. It's the laggard actually for the year, because palladium's up 29% and platinum's up 43%
this
year. Yeah,
platinum's been the big winner this year.
It's fun to do a radio program about these things that we advise on when they're doing so well. It's not the norm. This makes for better than an excellent year. But it does say that the gold run has some legs, because silver is confirming. And the commitment of traders report is somewhat similar with silver, with those contract holdings. For me, it's a matter of one more fundamental being, if we see the equities roll over with them at all-time highs, then I think that you would see gold poised to run further. So that would be another fundamental. But how about that commitment of traders report with the silver contract holdings in the futures?
Well, it's not quite as excessive as gold. It's more about 3-to-1, about 111,000 contracts on the long side, 33,000 on the short. So not quite as aggressive on the silver side, but still obviously pushing for continuation in the price of silver over the next handful of months. Or at the very least, nobody's really expecting silver to take a big pullback anytime soon. So just purely from looking at a chart standpoint, I've been hoping it goes from expecting to thinking it might happen to hoping to eventually giving up all hope
on a pullback.
Gold,
yeah.
That gold's going to give us a pullback here.
Yeah.
But what you need to do, and the reason we call for things like this, is when you have this period of, I don't want to say irrational, but let's just say excessive growth, or on the flip side, an excessive decline, you need one of two things happen. Either you need something to release the steam. You need some type of correction that's going to cause the market to come back down and just sell off, profit take, or, and this is what I think we're seeing here, sometimes you just need time. We've been sitting sideways now for a couple of months in most of the precious metals, to where any of the excess steam or momentum that kind of needed to calm down, take a breather, so to speak, it's had its halftime now at this point. So sure, it could come back out on the field and just totally drop the ball for the next 6 months. A correction is still possible. But the way it's playing out right now from a technical standpoint, both gold and silver, is that if we see things continue to hold here, it's very likely it's just going to pick up the trend that it's been on for a while. And we're getting a second and third indication of that from some of the other people that we follow as well. Like Tori, you mentioned Vermeulen over at the Technical Traders. He's got some expectations, and especially with the volatility in the S&P this past week, if we see the S&P begin to roll over, that could be a good sign for gold, assuming that the S&P doesn't completely crash. You know, right. If the S&P crashes, it's going to pull everything down with it, at least short term. But if we get the S&P start to slowly meander its way down over a 3 or 6 month period, that's going to be incredibly bullish for gold, because people are going to be looking for those safety assets that gold has always been.
That's right. Honestly, too, HedgeEye is another one of those resources that we follow, and they're still bullish on gold. And your commitment to traders, that 5-to-1 you were talking about for gold, the 3-to-1 with silver, for the listener, that just means for every person who thinks that gold is going to go down, there are 5 that are betting that it's going to go up.
Right.
And with silver, it's 3-to-1, 3 long bettors for every short better that is out there. And HedgeEye has the range, you know, with gold, 3,273, which is what we pulled back to last week, the low end of their risk range, with a high end of 3,410. You know, as we record here today on Wednesday, the 8th of August, you're looking at a live gold price of $3,368. So we're real close to that upper end of that channel. If you break above that, then that's bullish for them. Likewise with silver, the HedgeEye numbers to the downside, silver at 3640, the upside 3928, and we're recording right around $37.90.
Well, even Citigroup, who is not normally a gold bull, has revised their projection upward for gold to 3600. So you're getting a lot of the bigger money lining up.
Yeah, Chris Vermeulen mentioned 4,100. Yep. So, and that's just from the world of technical trading and charts like Miles's world. But the underlying fundamentals are pointing that as well. But, you know, you guys, the interesting thing is that it's really been soft in the physical coin and bar market. And yet here's this billionaire David Bateman. I don't know if you guys heard, he just bought $12.7 million in silver. And that sounds like a huge number, but that's physical silver. He took delivery of physical silver, and he wrote in a tweet, he said, "The global monetary system is about to collapse. The biggest credit bubble in history will soon pop. Gold and silver are the only meaningful life raft. Physical possession is everything. The whole world right now is a sophisticated game of musical chairs, and the chairs are precious metals," unquote. So what we do is we assist the investor with acquiring physical coins and bars of gold, silver, platinum, and palladium. And again, you can learn more on that at our website, which is mcalvaney.com. That's mcalvaney.com. But it's important that you own what you know that you own, not paper investments, in our opinion. You can venture into that world just as you diversify into other assets. But nothing is more important than owning the actual tangible commodity as we talk about that. So, Miles, what about platinum and palladium? I mean, so much volatility. We've got to touch on those as well.
Sure. Well, I got to fix something here real quick, Tori, before we jump over to platinum and palladium. For a billionaire to go out and buy $12.7 million worth of silver,
that sounds like
a lot, which is what you said, and that's perfectly fine. But he actually bought about 40 times that, because he bought 12.7 million ounces, of silver.
Thank you for correcting. That is exactly
which
right.
Comes to just close to about $500 million in silver that a single individual individual investor just picked up. So just wanted to correct that. You were on a roll, so I didn't want to interrupt you. But
critical interruption, even if you did. So
yeah, let's look at the white metals as a whole, and then we'll transition over into platinum, palladium as well. But silver coming off a really nice pullback after it. Man, it got so close to $40 back in July. Got real, real close to the 40 mark, and we've come back down since then. We actually came down as low as 36.25. 36.30, which if you look back at the charts, that's kind of the launch pad. That's where that final big push up really started back on July 9th, which is also right in the dead center of where the previous trading range is. So where we were talking about gold having this long extended pause, and then silver tends to lag behind gold, follow behind gold, and make more volatile moves up and down. The percentages tend to be bigger. Well, silver here, we're looking at the remnant of a little bit of a correction. Now, granted, it's a very mild, tepid correction, but we did basically sell off the entirety of all the growth that we saw between July 9th and when we peaked out on July 23rd. So there's kind of the difference where you see how gold moved versus silver moved when you take a look at that last push. Now, the good news for silver is since we did have a more aggressive pullback, that means it basically cooled itself off in the matter of a couple weeks, what took gold a number of months to do slowly. So it's adding a little bit more credibility to the argument that I might have been wrong a couple weeks ago, and we may be just not coming into a corrective phase in the precious metals.
Well, some of that volatility is the news that's been hitting us with a left and a right. Remember last week's recording, we had just realized that the Fed wasn't going to cut rates.
Right.
That was strong dollar policy. Gold goes down because Chairman Powell came out and said probably not in September either. Well, then we got a terrible jobs report on Friday. And so then that boosts the odds that there may be a September rate cut.
Well, the job report was way below expectations, and it made President Trump so angry he fired the head of the Bureau of Labor Statistics. I remember many, many years ago, I had a client who told me, you should call my son. He works at the Bureau of Labor Statistics. You'd have a good time talking with him. I'm like, well, tell me about your son. He goes, well, he graduated from the London School of Economics. He's a really smart kid. He's been in Chicago for a while. And I'm like, well, why would a kid with a graduate degree from the BLS want to talk to a gold guy? He goes, Rob, just call him. So I did. Gave him a call. He's like, I can't talk right now. I'll call you back. So I figured he was blowing me off. 10 minutes later, he calls me back. He says, yeah, I couldn't take your call in the office. This place, they are lying to people. Inflation numbers, productivity.
Employment. Probably inflation. Yeah. You know, all of the above.
Yeah, he had to call me from the sidewalk and just kind of rant for about 15 minutes about how the Bureau of Labor Statistics was just basically, not using his term, but my term, of cooking the books. And that was years and years ago. So here we are.
Well, those revisions, though, were huge.
Oh, okay. Huge.
It was thought that 100,000 jobs were going to be added in July, and it came in at only 73,000. So it's still positive, doesn't sound terrible, but the revisions of the May and June numbers are what put her on the hot seat. So May, they came out and said there were 144,000 jobs added. They just revised that down to 19,000. And for June, it was 147,000.
Those are not the same number.
No, not even close. You're moving a decimal point. And 147,000 jobs added in June, that was revised down to 14,000. So that's a 258,000 job loss.
This is going
just
back
with revisions.
Even go back to last year when the jobs numbers came out much higher than what was expected, and everybody got excited. And then the month later, they revised downward.
Yep.
So this has been going on for a while.
Well, it has. But here's why it's important, is that you can't cut rates if the labor market is too hot, because you're driving inflation. If you cut interest rates, you're going to borrow more, you're going to spend more. That's going to drive inflation higher. You have more people working, they have more disposable income, that drives prices higher. Right. Well, when the labor market is weak, now you're talking about, hey, we need to stimulate. We need to stimulate the economy so that employers are hiring employees. And that's what rate cuts can do in that market. So now there's this hopeful attitude that maybe we do start to see rate cuts. There is no August meeting for the FOMC, but in the September timeframe, they may cut rates then. And that's what the market started reacting to. The equities markets rallied. Gold and silver obviously rallied, came back to life. We're up more than $120 an ounce in gold quietly in 1 week from the low to the top. That's a big swing in 1 week.
Yeah.
Well, and then looking at what it costs to live, the average housing prices are a little over $400,000, around $435,000. Takes almost 130 ounces of gold to buy a house. But if you go back 30 years ago, it took almost 300 ounces of gold to buy a house because the average price of the house was $115,000 and the average price of gold was just below $400,000. 50 years ago, it took little over 200 ounces of gold to buy a house. So housing, groceries, gasoline, all these things have really hurt the consumer.
Unless they've been saving in gold. So those numbers you just said, I mean, it used to be 200 to 300 ounces to buy a house. Now it's only 129, 130 ounces to buy a house. What do you save in? Well, you save in gold. That's what makes you immune to the cost of everything around us going up.
I know.
Don't be sitting in cash in the bank. It makes no sense.
I just talked to a client 2 days ago, and she was wanting an update on her gold, and I gave it to her, and she's like, what do I do? And I'm like, well, why don't you just consider a gold annuity? You just retired. She was a college professor. If it takes $5,000 or $10,000 a month to enjoy the life that you've waited for, we'll sell 2 to 3 ounces a month. You will not run out of money. And if the price of everything goes crazy, it doesn't change the 2 to 3 ounces a month that you sell.
That's right. That's beautiful.
Well, let's just finish off the metals real quick because I think this is going to segue into the end of our conversation. Last look at the couple white metals with platinum on a little bit of a reversal back down as we've been talking about. Palladium obviously significantly more at 7.5%, but that's understandable given the amount of movement that we've seen in both platinum and palladium here recently. They're still just hugging right along some of their real shallow correction levels like the 382 fib for platinum, about a 38% of the rise. It's come back down, and that's also lining up nicely with its 50-day moving average. And palladium continues down, but it actually hasn't even made it down to its 50-day moving average like platinum already has. So across the board, the white metals, silver, platinum, and palladium giving us a corrective move, gold giving us that extended move. And with what's going on globally with the supply for platinum and palladium, it's not surprising that we've seen so much volatility here recently.
Well, that's a good point. And speaking internationally, Russia is also opening up their own precious metals exchange in St. Petersburg. And the St. Petersburg exchange should be open by the end of this year, beginning of next. And they're going to be joining up with the Shanghai Exchange that China opened a few years ago. And really, between Russia and China, they're opposed to the U.S. and England because the London and New York exchanges have controlled the price of gold primarily for decades, if not centuries. Now, we see with the push to de-dollarization and the BRICS countries, Russia and China opening their exchanges so people can convert the currencies used in trade back to the metal if they so choose. And talk about the recycling of currencies back to gold. That's what's happened to treasury demand. Instead of dollars being recycled into treasuries, they're recycling it into gold.
Yeah, and Russia is pushing as a central bank, one of the only central banks in the world that are looking at,
silver.
Silver.
Yeah, you're right. I forgot about that.
And I think that's moving the price. So if they get this St. Petersburg exchange really up and running, it could be the forefront of the silver market taking over for the LBMA. And they already control platinum and palladium markets. I mean, what is it? 40% of it, global supply is out of Russia. The other 40%
is South Africa.
They're in
the back pocket of China and Russia. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
So I would look for some continued strength in those white metals if that St. Petersburg exchange gets up and running. And we'll see what transpires. And with platinum and palladium, ironically, Miles, the numbers you just talked about, palladium was up 7.7% for the month of July. and it erased all of that in the first week of August. So now it's flat for 5 weeks.
Yep.
And silver
Same
was
thing
down.
Silver did.
Yeah, platinum was down 2.7% for July, and now it's up that amount in the first week. So both of those metals are flat over the course of the 5 week period of time, despite the whipsaw effect.
Well, talking about de-dollarization, let's give gold the kudos it deserves. It is now the number two largest holding by sovereign banks.
Oh, yes. Over
globally.
The euro. Yeah, it just surpassed the euro. You are right.
Yeah, the dollar is still number one, of course, but gold is now the second largest percentage holding by governments worldwide. So I don't know if you're not smelling it yet, but you're going to eventually. So it's starting to smell a little ripe at the Federal Reserve Bank. So I think that's going to do it for us this week, guys. Appreciate it, as always, stopping by. If you liked what you heard, we encourage you to head on over to our website that Tori mentioned earlier. That's McElvaney.com, McElvaney.com. You can also find more info on Twitter at ICA Gold or Facebook at McElvaney Financial. And as always, if you'd like to discuss your personal portfolio with one of the advisors here at McElvaney Precious Metals, you can reach us at 1-800-525-9556. Thanks again for listening and have a great week.